Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Watkins, Salah and Palmer. Now I've said there's alternatives that cost the 16th, but Watkins, Palmer, Salah are all great shouts for Sunday.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Such.
And my name is James.
You've been creeping up the table a little bit, and then a bit down a bit.
And then down a bit, yeah.
Yeah, same as me. Up a bit, down a bit, up a bit, down a bit, to the left, to the right. Shake it all about.
Sounds like my love life used to be.
How many points for the week does
just,
it say?
It's just down now. 66.
Oi, oi, 81, son. But I used three transfers, so...
Only three?
Yeah, only three.
Why only three?
Because I've got one more tomorrow. No, what day is it? Wednesday, yeah, tomorrow.
Okay.
You are playing Chelsea tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll allow you that, yeah.
Yeah, and the others didn't make sense for me to use, so I've still got more to use.
How many you got left?
Eight.
Okay.
One tomorrow leaves me seven. It's fine. Bruno Fernandes will be gone tomorrow for Cole Palmer. Yeah, it was 81 was all right. I peaked... I obviously captained Isak, as many did, on Saturday, James. So that was 30 points. That was particularly nice. I had Gordon as well, which was decent enough returns. Van Dijk only got me the passing tier, not the clean sheet. But I don't care about that at all. And Jared Branthwaite, the first game I had him, obviously he got me nothing. And then had the injury... potential injury layoff, and since then he's come back and really returned well for me, so I'm very happy with
four clean sheets in five, isn't it?
Yeah, and the goal, if you remember.
Well, Pickford's done great for me because he's got the save tiers
exactly
to go
that.
With it.
So they've been good defensively, so that was pretty decent. I was quite happy with that, and I had Sonny's goal as well on Saturday. No, Sunday, sorry. Sonny's goal came in. But yeah, Saturday was largely Isak day. Sunday was my problem, James. Sunday was my problem. This is when I used my three transfers. So I sold Onana
for
injured Edison. 2-pointer.
We think he might be back.
Okay.
For the weekend.
I hope so.
Apparently, there's nothing in the scan.
I didn't get the clean sheet, though, did I?
Obviously not. No. I mean, you know what I think about going Edison. I don't feel as bad about
it's
it.
It's the end
Sky
of the season.
FPL.
Yeah, FPL, I get it. But it's end of the season type stuff. I'm literally three games and then I'm going to be moving him on anyway with my transfer count. So it was like, who's likely to keep a clean sheet in the next three fixtures? Is it Forest? Then is it Wolves? And then Fulham after that, I think?
For City.
Yeah.
Yeah, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, Tottenham. Yeah. West
and West Ham. So if I had to hold into the end of the season, I reckon there's four clean sheets out of five. The only team I don't think would have kept a clean sheet would be against you lot, maybe.
Don't know if we'll be going in there off, mate.
Well, that's true. So Edison was a bit of a frustrating transfer. Obviously, the teams that I could come off would have been Liverpool and also Man United. because they had gaps in. So I sold Salah, I sold Onana, and I sold Fabian Scher. For Scher, I bought Saliba. For Onana, I bought Edison. And then for Salah, I bought Sonny. Sonny gives me the captaincy coverage for single game days and what have you. And then Bruno Fernandes was the move to go to
Palmer. You got the luxury, you can go back Palmer. Monday night, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
And I could have added an attacking Arsenal, would have been the fifth move that I would have made, but it would have meant I was stuck in the 3-5-2, so I had to move a midfielder for a midfielder. Because it was only Saka or Havertz were the only two that I was going to consider buying. And that would have meant, I can't say move Sonny on. Fernandes is moving on for Palmer anyway. So it was Gordon, Foden, Rodri. Well, Foden and Rodri were playing that day, so I wasn't going to sell either of them. Foden obviously wasn't playing that day. And Gordon, but Gordon's got a good fixture this weekend, so I didn't really want to move him on. It felt like a...
Yeah, one, you didn't need to.
Didn't need to, but then I did, didn't I? Because obviously I had a rank drop from 1,500 to 1,800 on the Sunday because I didn't have any attacking Arsenal. That was the big hit for me. And I didn't have Haaland. Sorry, and I think a lot would have captained Haaland. And I captained Solanke for a blank. So that was a bit of a disappointment Sunday, to be honest with you. Although I'll be buying Palmer and I've got 7 transfers still to go. Inside the top 1,000, I think is still doable.
Okay. The end of last week had mixed fortunes for me. So I bought Bruno Fernandes on the Wednesday, but didn't captain him against Sheffield United. I stayed with Mo against Everton, the Egypt. Then I had the coin flip of Foden or Rodri on the Thursday night. I went with Foden. That obviously worked out really well.
Yeah, so we haven't recorded since then. I was Foden as well. Yeah.
Saturday, I captained Isak. Sunday, I made a couple more changes and it did become a bit of a last-minute.com switcheroo. And I'm not making any excuses, but my head was in the derby, right?
Okay. Yeah,
I was going to go without Sonny. I was going to buy Brennan Johnson.
Yeah, he obviously wasn't in the team.
He wasn't in the team. And then I had to think about what I was doing because obviously I could go Salah to Son, but I was conscious that I was left with just Alexis McAllister of my Liverpool coverage, which is fine, but that's not what I wanted in terms of I'd rather have the player that could have explosiveness. And I was also had a real awareness that a lot of people were going to sell Mo. I feel like he could still be advantageous for me this coming Sunday and obviously on the Monday night against Aston Villa. I'm pretty sure that the bus start with Klopp would be sorted and he'll play. So I didn't really want to sell Mo. I was going to go McAllister to Johnson and Gusto to Porro. I still ended up going Gusto to... not Gusto to Porro. I still ended up going Porro, but I sacrificed Scher rather than Gusto.
Right.
To allow me to go McAllister to Son to keep Salah. Romero was the better choice, and I knew that when I was making the choice as well. I was just chasing the upside of what Pedro could be in terms of attacking stuff. And to be fair, from that perspective, it wouldn't have been the Arsenal game that I'd have been hoping for Porro to outscore Romero. It'd been some of the games later on. So that's left me with one transfer left. There is no plan to use that transfer because I'm fairly sure that something will force me into that transfer at some point. So I'm basically dead now, Suj, sitting at 58th and hoping I might squeeze into the top 50 / push towards the top 30 if I hit the captaincies right in
dead.
What's left. But yeah, I'm basically dead.
Finished.
Dead finished, yeah.
Do you want my login? You can use my last 7 transfers.
Well, the one guarantee of that is you use your transfers under that circumstance, Suj.
Oh, I'm going
to
use them.
So where have you jumped up to with all these transfers?
1,800. Not great. Well, it's not bad. I suppose it depends how far you want to go back. Like only up to a few weeks ago, I was like sitting around 5K. So, and I peaked at the weekend at 1,500, James. So I think still top 1,000 for me. If I get a 3-figure rank, I'm happy with the season that I've had, considering I've missed
loads
a handful
of
deadlines and captaincies and stuff like that. So I'll be fairly okay with it. It wouldn't be the worst season that I've ever had. James, you're on 3-2-6-4. Who did you captain on Sunday, did you say?
I captain Foden.
Right, yeah.
For nothing.
I'm on 3-0-3-8. So still 230 points between us. It's going to be hard to catch. Well, even close that down to 150 points. So, yeah, all good. I've still got some moves I want to make. My difficulty here now is that post Saturday, so this weekend coming, Sunday and Monday, which is the 5th and the 6th of May, the teams that have a fixture pile up from then onwards, i.e. I'm talking about a 4-for-2. So Arsenal, for example, Brighton, Chelsea, Man United, Spurs, all have a 4-for-2. I ain't like that excited about steaming in. I definitely don't want to steam into Brighton, per se. I don't want to add any more than Cole Palmer to Chelsea, really. I don't mind going back to Manchester United for Bruno Fernandes and maybe one other.
Yeah, but I think in your situation, I'd punt something like Madueke, man.
Yeah, maybe. You've got Liverpool and City as two of your last two, but then Burnley and Sheffield United are potentially quite good ones. I maybe fancy a bit of Richarlison. But City also have four fixtures, but three good ones, albeit that starts on the Saturday. So I own Jarrod Branthwaite. I can come off Branthwaite after the Luton game. But also, why? His next game, Sheffield United home. So it doesn't make sense to move him on either. So there'll be a little bit of hokey-cokeying.
Yeah, but then it's what do you go to if you hold the Sheffield United game?
Then you're down to like two games.
Yeah, but then...
Or Man United for three games.
Yeah, Man United 3-for-1 playing Arsenal, Newcastle and
Brighton. This is it now. So yeah, I'll be using them. Will it be optimum? Probably not. But yeah. Okay. It'll be Sunday and Monday, moving day. I'll probably use another four and then, well, probably maybe even five.
Should we talk captaincy?
Yes, we shall. Do we need to even debate Thursday?
No, not really, no. Okay. I think there'll be goals in the game. I'll just add that. I think Chelsea and Tottenham fans would both agree with that sentiment that most likely both teams will score. So if you were thinking a defensive asset, I presume Thiago Silva, for anyone who'd gone down that route, is going to be out, I'm guessing. I probably wouldn't be looking to replace that with another Chelsea player. But he might be forced in for a handful of people who have gone there, maybe. I'd probably maybe rather invest in Friday night, as we'll cover in a second. So, Cole Palmer, tomorrow night.
For me,
I don't even think Sonny starting is a certainty. I would say it's a 90%, but I don't even think it's a certainty. Cole Palmer is a certainty.
Friday night, it's who you got, really. You're Pickford, I'm Branthwaite.
It's not necessarily who you've got. I had a look this morning and...
Well, you want to steam into.
So what's Branthwaite's ownership top 1,000, Serge?
Top 1,000 is only 8.1.
Yeah.
And overall 1.3.
All right. And Jordan Pickford's is at a third.
33%.
Yeah. Once you add in all the little bits, you know, a little bit of Colt Morris and shit like that, it's under 50% ownership for the Friday night game at the moment, which means there's a big advantage. However, I had a note that Jan-Paul Van Hek is still knocking about with quite a bit of ownership in the top 1,000. And I think anybody who's got that is probably
going to... He's out for the season.
He's going to go Branthwaite Friday night if they can afford to. I think most teams will be fixed into a structure of a back three. I think those who aren't should consider something like Mateta on Monday night at a similar price as an alternative and captain that as a super differential. But I think there'll be quite a bit of Van Hector Branthwaite movement on Friday night. So I think that Everton ownership will be more than what it would, you know, it's Wednesday, it's a Friday night game, you'd think that's near enough it. I think it will actually increase a bit on Friday night because of the Van Hek ownership. But certainly still, having an Everton defensive is going to be a differential across the top 1,000 that will make the captaincy worthwhile on Friday night. So... Yeah, with Little Arms has been great for me, mate. It's arguably my best Sky transfer of the season, near enough.
And even in FPL, people have owned him. I think he's probably one of the most underrated FPL assets of the season so far, Pickford, because his ownership's never been crazy, and he's done well in all formats. What are you thinking for Saturday? You still own Erling Haaland, home to Wolves. I think he's a pretty obvious captaincy, right?
55% ownership in the top 1,000. I mean, yes, please.
It's as low as it gets with Erling Haaland.
It's mad, isn't
it? And I'm not going
back. Well, a lot of people, I think you might see that in some of the questions, a lot of people cut themselves off. And I think for those people who have cut themselves off, I think keep swinging against.
I don't see the point in going back. To, like with three games to
whatever
go.
Whatever you're selling to get there, he's probably a player that's got a good fixture this weekend as well anyway. Like, it's not like there's not alternatives on Saturday in the likes of the Arsenal players against Bournemouth, or of course even alternative Manchester City players, be it Rodri, Phil Foden, if you've gone for like a Guardiola or an Aki or something like that, there'll be alternatives. I think Haaland would be the standout for Saturday, and that's fairly straightforward for me, I think.
Yeah, I'll probably go Rodri, to be honest with you. I quite fancy that. He should be good for a 5-7-pointer and just pray. And just pray that Haaland doesn't do the business, because that's him. My other option is Isak away at Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly reasonable as well.
But Newcastle don't have a good away record.
Yes, but he can. And the explosiveness is still there. Like, if I was sat there with just Isak for Saturday, I'd still be fairly comfortable with that, I think. But yeah, I think for those of us who are on Haaland and have kept through this, yeah, that's getting the armband. That feels like the one left where there could be the real game where he goes off. So yeah, I'll be captain Haaland Saturday.
What's your thoughts on Edison if I find out that he is fit? Wolves at home?
What, for captaincy?
Yeah. Fruity, go on. Nah.
I'd rather you went with Isak. Go for it, man.
Okay, fine. On the Sunday, obviously Chelsea are home to West Ham, Liverpool are home to Tottenham. You've got Ollie Watkins away at Brighton, who seem to be leaking a lot of goals at the moment. Anyone still with him in their team will be looking at that and licking their lips as well, potentially.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about Sunday is the six teams playing. And Brighton and Aston Villa has been added as a TV selection game, by the way. It wasn't originally. You could make a case for a captaincy from all six teams, I think. Palmer, Jared Bowen, Dunk or Gross, Watkins, Salah, Son.
Yeah, you could make a case. I still think Palmer and Salah are the two standouts, home fixtures.
Cole Palmer will be the most captained, and that's purely down to the ownership. I don't know how many people are going to go back to Mo on Sunday. Can people do
that? Is Klopp going to go back to Mo on Sunday?
You know what Mo's ownership is in the top 1,000?
Low.
It's 24.3%.
Wow. Look, Klopp ain't even going to put him in.
So
team,
all these people who sold him, James. I think those with the luxury, what they might have done is gone Salah to like Havertz or Saka for the Tottenham-Bournemouth games with the idea of going back. And there will definitely be some who go back. But it's also going to be some, I think, who are going to be put off by what's happened, put off by his form before, and not go there. I'll be captain Mo on Sunday, unless there's some form of indication to myself that he's not in the team, because I know what will happen on Sunday. You'll get chances. That's a certainty. So that's enough for me. Whereas you can't be certain that Palmer would against West Ham and the low block.
What about Monday? Crystal Palace at home to Manchester United. I mean, Bruno Fernandes for me will be the standout, and I'll captain Bruno Fernandes. But anybody that's got a Palace asset like an Eze or a Mateta,
I think anybody who's got anything like that should go to Palace player.
Just risk the upside.
Yeah, I think Palace will beat United.
Yeah, me too. If I own Mateta, I think I'd captain him over Bruno, you know.
But come Monday night, there'll be moves for Manchester United players. There'll be people looking at Pickford to Onana for sure. There'll be people maybe need to look at an enabler for another move. Someone like Garnacho is perfectly reasonable for the run-in with a little bit of upside that will have low ownership. Bruno Fernandes, his ownership will increase. He's in 57.3% the top 1,000 at the moment. That will jump up again Monday night. And if you're worried about things, that's the one you want to put the armband on. Because as always with him, United can be shit, but he can return well. He's obviously in a bit of a purple patch at the moment where he is doing well, although admittedly a blank against Burnley at the weekend. But yeah, I don't need to fight against that. It'll be Bruno captain for me Monday. It's part reason for me as well. The opportunities, there's an opportunity there for me with Salah and Haaland this week, I think, that I cannot refuse.
Yep. Cool. Let's see.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you want to cover off some of the stats from the weekend, James? Just relevant bits and pieces,
yeah,
if there's anything interesting to come out of any of them.
From some of the midweek stuff last week. So Fabian Schär did hit a passing tier for Newcastle at Crystal Palace last week. So did Bruno Guimaraes. Emil Kraft, 8 tackles, 1. Anthony Gordon, 7 tackles, 1. in that game at Selhurst Park.
I did see that. I think he'd won them in the he'd got to a tier at half time, a tackle tier at half time, which was quite surprising.
Mateta, 2 goals, 3 shots on target. He's 6.7. Oof. So that's what for me. This is an interesting one. I'll throw this question to you. If you're a Van Hek owner and you've got a back four at the moment and you've got no coverage for Luton Everton, do you just go Brantfrey or do you look at something like that, Mateta, Monday night?
Because the next game for Everton is Sheffield United at home, and then who do Palace have thereafter? Let's have a look.
Palace finish with Wolves away and Villa at home.
So you got
Everton obviously finish at Arsenal. So you can, whatever you earn against Sheffield United might get minus.
I think I'd go Man United and Wolves, you know.
You go for the Palace player.
I'd go for the Palace player.
I just think, like,
I don't, because Brantfrey doesn't get any tiers.
Okay. No, realistically, with Brantfrey, I mean, if you get the clean sheet, you're looking at 14, great. But you're probably not getting anything more on that unless he happens to get
a goal. A random goal.
Of course he could do. I mean, he scored against Liverpool last week, right? So he could do, but it's unlikely. Mateta would be one of Mateta's one that can have that captaincy that can go off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He scores twice.
And both games, Man United at home and Wolves away, although you won't be captaining him Wolves away because City got Fulham away. But if you really wanted to go for it, it could be a good one.
I don't mind that. As said with Brantfrey, obviously the goal scored in the Merseyside derby, he completed 10 passes during the game. James Tarkowski completed 14. Virgil van Dijk, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Alexis McAllister in Tier 2 passing, Ibrahim Konate Tier 1, McAllister with a tackle tier, Mo Salah hit shot tier with basically the last kick of the game. From the Manchester United-Sheffield United game, all of United's defensive players hit a passing tier. Yes, all of them, even Aaron Wan-Bissaka, 70 passes completed, Diogo Dalot, 67, Harry Maguire, 91, obviously being partnered at the moment by Casemiro, 109. Bruno Fernandes, 2 goals and assist, 3 shots on target, 66 passes completed for a nice 22-point haul. And there were a number who captained him last Wednesday who really shot up. So, Garnacho had 5 shots.
Ian Parent, I think, did. I'm pretty sure
Ian has killed us all.
He's not killed us all.
There's about 40 people above Ian that Ian hasn't killed yet, but Ian's probably still got about 25 transfers left, so don't rule him out. Garnacho's 5 shots on target, as said. I don't mind that as an enabling differential as well. Rasmus Højlund also hit a shot here in that fixture. For the City players at Brighton, Jan-Paul Van Hek didn't hit passing tier. He did hit a tackle tier, though. Lewis Dunk, 67 passes completed. Part of my reasoning, Foden, Rodri, was timing as well. I was thinking, do you know what? If there's one game where Rodri won't hit a passing tier, it could be this one because of Brighton stylistically. I think he did it by about the 55th minute or something. 109 passes completed. Wow. For Rodri. Aki, 81. Akanji, 94. Kovacic, 87. Bernardo Silva, 66. Obviously, Foden with his 2 goals and shots here. It was also shots here for Julian Alvarez in that one as well. If we look at the ones from the weekend, again, I'm just going to cover off stuff that's mildly relevant here. Jared Bowen is an interesting differential to consider on Sunday, I think. A Chelsea team that might be a little bit fatigued, because remember, it's their game tomorrow night. As in, it's the most important. West Ham afterwards would normally have a derby feel. It might feel like a come down from Tottenham to West Ham for Chelsea. Might be tired. They do give up chances. Remember, with Bowen as well, you could put him into the category of differential captaincy next Saturday when they host the Luton team that might have to go to West Ham and win. I don't hate that, particularly if it was to then chain into something else, perhaps on the Sunday or the Monday afterwards of the penultimate weekend. For Liverpool, passing tiers at the back for the back four. Trent Joss, 60 passes completed, also had a shot tier. So too did Andy Robertson, who got a goal, 65 passes completed. 80 for Van Dijk, 81 for Jarrell Kwanzaa. Wotoro Endo, 63 passes completed. Alexis McAllister, a little bit short on 54. Fulham Palace, nothing overly to interest there. I mean, Mike Wilese, I would argue, by the way, maybe the best one of the lot Monday night for captaincy.
Elise?
Yeah, that's the sneaky feeling I have on that.
I think Mateta.
I can agree, but I do think a Palace attacking player. Yeah.
I think formation is a thing. Midfield is again the problem, right? There's too many good midfielders to get, so getting Elise over.
The reality is, though, like if you don't have any ownership for that fixture on Monday night, you are naturally going to be drawn to Bruno Fernandes or a Manchester United enabling alternative, perhaps, or plenty are going to go to Pickford and Onana route, I think. Onana made 6 saves for United against Burnley at the weekend. Anthony, 6 shots on target and attack
on target.
Yeah, wow. 6 on target. Yeah,
that's more than he's had all season, mate.
Yes, don't do that. For Newcastle, Alexander Isak, 2 goals, 3 shots on target. Past tier for Tino Livramento and Gimenez. Fabian Scher went off at half time on 30. So was probably on course to hit a passing tier, but obviously the clean sheet had already gone. At that stage, nothing from Wolves and Luton, I think, of interest for us. For Everton against Brentford, Ashley Young with a tackle tier, Jordan Pickford with save tier, no one near passing as per usual. Idrissa Garnagay with the most, 46 passes. Has obviously scored 2 in the last 3. Ignore that. You might get 2 in the next 300.
Flash in the pan.
For Chelsea at Villa, some large numbers. They had a lot of the ball. Basically moved to a back 3. In possession. Badiashile 103, Thiago Silva 106, Trevor Chalobah 88 passes completed. Chalobah also 6 tackles won, Mark Cucurella 4 tackles won. Full house for Moises Caicedo, 2 shots on target, 71 passes completed and 5 tackles won. Ollie Watkins hit a shot here despite completing 3 passes in the game. So he had 1 more pass than shots on target.
Mad.
For Bournemouth against Brighton, you'd mentioned Dominic Solanke with a blank. No, not even a shot here. Very surprising
nothing.
To get
considering
nothing.
They scored 3 goals.
In the 3-0 win, but I guess people have had that. This was the problem I said about him several times. It was like, where are you going to move him? And he's such a good price. There was no desperation to
But they've got enough fixtures that you're not missing out on fixtures necessarily.
Lewis Dunk with the usual 86 passes completed. Also tier 2 for Gilmore, 77. Gross, 94. Simon Adingra with tackles, 1. From the North London Derby, most for Arsenal passes was William Saliba with 41. Christian Romero, only tier 1 passing, 64 passes completed, but 4 tackles won as well to go with his goal, beautifully assisted by David Raya. Mickey van der Ven actually had more in this one, 72 passes completed. Dejan Kulusevski with a tackle tier. Bukayo Saka hit a shot tier and got tier 2 tackles to go with his goal for a nice little haul as well. And finally, Manchester City at Nottingham Forest, 136 passes for Rodri, also included him giving the ball away more than I think I've ever seen him do in a football match before, actually. And he hit a tackle tier. Aki and Gvardiol, 63, 61 passes completed only. Akanji, 56. Cole Walker, 59.
It's very low.
I know quite a few went with Cole Walker. He was also 3 tackles won as well, so on the edge of everything, but did at least get his clean sheet. Kevin De Bruyne, shot tier to go with his 2 assists, and the big robot up front did get shots here in his 30-odd minutes played. Mateo Kovacic was on 58 passes despite coming on at half-time.
That's cool. Your data. Good, good. Well, let's get into some of the questions that we've had in on the internet then, James, shall we? A lot of punty-related stuff here.
Good.
Ian Parrin, he says, with the importance last week showing of nailing captaincy for you, mate, because you nailed it. We didn't all get the right captaincy.
He hit like Fernandes, Foden, Isak, and there'll be plenty of others that hit that
done
as
the same.
Well.
Yeah. He says, the not remaining 9 fixture days, not including the final Sunday, do you think which do you think will be the trickiest to get right? I mean, Luton, Everton, just because.
Yeah, but you either fall into something or you don't.
Yeah, but to get the right one out of that, I think it's going to be tricky.
The call here from an ownership perspective is the Everton defensive.
Sunday that you mentioned, Sunday the 5th.
I'd possibly argue that the best choice for captaincy in that game on Friday night arguably would be Colton Morris.
Yeah, I think Sunday that you mentioned where all the teams have a captainable player, Chelsea, West Ham, Liverpool, Tottenham.
Yeah,
who knows which one's going to go off there.
I mean, as I've said to you, even before the derby, I fancy we might do something at Liverpool on Sunday, actually. So as much as I've been critical of Sonny, it does feel like a Sonny kind of game where, you know, there'll be space in, almost even more so if he plays off the left, because, you know, Trent will vacate that position and stuff. So I wouldn't even hate that if people wanted to. Thing is, like, if Son has a bad night tomorrow, no one does that Sunday, and it might not be the worst call. The only thing is you won't see the Tottenham team. And I think there's that as well, because of what's happened with Salah. I think that's going to put enough people off if they haven't got the info. Just go, oh, I've got Palmer. It's great. Got a great feature. There's nothing wrong with captain Palmer Sunday. Nothing at all. I just think I've got to take the chance on Mo, because it's one left where it could make me a big jump. Obviously, Cole Palmer could kill me, right? And before I know it, I'm out the top 100 again. But I'd rather take that chance.
Yeah,
when we're involving Mo Salah here against a team that I know is going to give up chances, I'd rather take that on. And I think Saturday, for those who don't have Haaland, I mean, you're going to be going with players who can outscore him. You know, Foden, Isak, etc. They're all fine. So it feels like this weekend, I think the following weekend, because City are the early kickoff, people will be inclined to go with a City player. You'll see that, oh, Haaland's in the team at Fulham. It'll be a City player against Tottenham. The Wednesday night, you might get a bit of a split between sort of like Fernandes, Isak, Palmer, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday, anyone who's got Arsenal is going to go Arsenal. Anyone, well, I would maybe go Fernandes over Saliba. You might get a bit of a split on that one. So still think the days that are going to have the most splits left is either the two this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, for those who don't have like Haaland, Salah, or the final day.
Yep.
Where obviously you've got a choice of whatever, you see every lineup, just punt into something. Like, I could see me, if I don't use that one transfer left and nothing comes up, I could see me arguably just punting Brennan Johnson when Tottenham play City and captain him against Sheffield United final day, just do something different maybe.
Agreed. Joe Crilly only has three transfers, and he's picked up potential injuries to Van Heek, Ederson and Cher. Well, Cher, we think, might be all right. Ederson
I think he will be. Obviously, I didn't have that info on
the
Sunday when making that decision. Not that I overly regret it, because I think part of getting Cher in originally was smash me that 10-pointer against Sheffield United straight away, and it wasn't there, so...
Well, Joe says, is this type of scenario a case of not having saved enough transfers? He's still got three left, to be honest, so, or just bad luck. First season playing, so trying to learn some lessons. I think it this close to the end of the season, to have three left and then to get three potential injuries would be bad luck. And if it comes out when you get to the weekend and you've only got one injury, which is Van Heek, which we know about, then actually it's not that bad, is it, coming into the last few weeks? Like, I've got one, you're going to get one between now and the end of the season, which you've kept your transfer back for.
I've kept Gusto, right? And I don't know what the situation is. What I was doing was having a scan through to be like, right, well, if I get news Gusto's out for the rest of the season, what am I going to do here? And arguably, like, if that news did come out before, you know, say today ahead of Chelsea, Tottenham tomorrow, I'd probably just add Brantford to Pickford, you know, and go double Everton defence.
We have a question in about Ollie Watkins, James. Is Watkins a better captaincy than Salah for Sunday the 5th? And he's put Monday the 11th, but I think he means Monday the 13th, because that's when Villa and Liverpool play each other. Do you think Watkins is a better captaincy option than Salah for both those two days? I
mean, Watkins, Salah and Palmer. Now I've said there's alternatives that cost the 16th, but Watkins, Palmer, Salah are all great shouts for Sunday. I don't know. I don't know what the vibe will be in terms of how many people go back to Mo. It feels like a great opportunity to have Mo Salah in a game at Anfield owned by a quarter of the game. Even still, even if it jumps back up sort of 40-50%, still at this stage of the season is pretty surprising. I don't think there's going to be mass going back necessarily. I think enough will be fearful. I've got Palmer anyway. But Brighton are in a bad state at the moment. I'd be very tempted to go Watkins for even bigger reasons, because these were under 10% owned, top 1,000.
Yeah, that's real differential stuff. DB, who would you prefer as a punt to move Solanke onto on Thursday? So it's obviously out of the Chelsea-Spurs game. He's highlighted Johnson, Madueke, or Nicholas Jackson?
Depends a little bit as well. So I think if you are looking to use that as a chain transfer, so i.e. Thursday, then Sunday, and then maybe move into Manchester United on the Monday, I quite like the Madueke idea. less keen on having him stay until the end. Like, Nkunku's apparently back in full training, we've heard this morning and stuff.
Wow.
He obviously won't start tomorrow night. No. But there's every chance he'll obviously be on the bench. And there's a few others coming back as well that's possibly going to put a bit of pressure on that. So I think like Thursday, Sunday, you'd be safe and you'd be fine. Then if you're moving that into, you know, even like Garnacho Monday night, I quite like that. I think if he's got speed till the end, with Werner's injury now as well, I quite like Brennan Johnson. What was the other alternative that was mentioned?
Jackson.
Madueke and Jackson. Nah, I think there's every chance Jackson will return well tomorrow night. But other than that, no.
Dale and Brendan. Dale's 56, Brendan's 23rd overall. Both asked the same question. Is Haaland...
Did they both post their ranks as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know when someone's had a good season, they tell you.
Yeah, I added in the question. Is Haaland... Finish the question.
Oh, they have not put essential, have they?
Well, both don't own him. And Dale's 0.1 short of going to Haaland in one move, so needs to make two moves to get him, which means coming off Bruno or going sideways for a City asset. But they're high enough ranked, James. 56 is just a couple above you, where you're almost playing a little bit... Like, what you got to pick your battles, you always say, right? For people that high ranked, I'm concerned that... I wouldn't swing against Haaland, but they don't own him. So you're making a transfer to get him.
I think the only ones would be, if you're in a physical back four, and it includes Jared Branthwaite particularly, could you make a move such as Salah to Madueke tomorrow night to then allow you into like Branthwaite to Haaland on Saturday? Now, if you're chaining it like that, and you've got the Branthwaite captaincy as the Friday night in between that, then I don't mind that sort of thing. Brennan Johnson would maybe be an alternative as well. Chances are that may not be enough money, I'm going to guess. But unless you're doing that sort of thing,
yep,
and really you need to be set up in the back four, then I think it's a no. And I certainly wouldn't buy Branthwaite to then make that happen either. So I think unless there's a natural path for it that involves buying a Tottenham player should have been bought Sunday, really. So a Chelsea player tomorrow night that enables the money to move from a defender to Haaland Saturday. Other than that, no, let it go. Let it go. Take it on. It's small sample size in the sense it's not like it's February. In February, you're not making the decision to go, I'm going to go about Haaland for the end of the season. So it feels like more of, oh, I've got to get there. It's over a small period. Like, could Phil Foden outscore Erling Haaland over four games that Manchester City got left? Yeah, of course. If we're over a 15 to 20 game period, you're more worried about that, aren't you? So I think take it on.
Okay.
Especially as well, with respect to the guys finishing first, is obviously going to be mad difficult from there. So, you know, is it fear at this stage or is it take things on? I think it'd be similar for people who've gone without Salah. Again, I think there'd be people who've looked at the Liverpool to Arsenal back to Liverpool, and I get that. But I'd still think Salah's going to be relatively lowly owned for what we'd expect at this stage of the season.
Last question of the show, James, goes to Mindy, who says, do you think going Porro over Romero...
was a mistake, yeah.
...is a mistake worth correcting?
Oh, no.
He's got five transfers left, needs three of them for Haaland and captaincy cover. So two transfers left. I don't think it's worth replacing either.
No, I think as well, like with Porro, the decision is made based on hopeful for attacking returns. So the expectation wasn't on the Arsenal game. It was on other games coming up. And I think also as well, from what we've seen from Arsenal in games at Manchester City and Brighton recently, that actually there would have been an expectation that Romero probably would hit a passing tier.
Yeah.
Goal is obviously unexpected. The tackles is another bonus as well, but we know he's capable of doing it. As I said to you, I know Romero's the right choice when I made it, but I was like, nah, I'm going to go for the potential upside for Porro. So, no, it would be no consideration to use my one remaining transfer to fix that. And even if I had 10, I wouldn't be doing that.
Good. James, that's a wrap. What we got rest of the week? COTCs, live streams, bit of this, tomorrow. Bit of that.
12 o'clock tomorrow. So if you want to ask me some more Sky questions on that,
ask James. That's youtube.com/planetfpl.
That's because there is a Friday night game and I can't be doing two live streams on a Friday. It's just too much for my brain at this stage of the season because it gets too repetitive.
Your voice is still fucked from Sunday as well.
I'm recording with Aaron Lagor tonight. Is my voice still sound
nah,
shit?
Nah, it's fine.
Yeah, recording with Aaron Lagle tonight. I'll be out for you early-ish on Friday. Our Leicester City correspondent. Give you a flavour of some Leicester assets potentially for next season, because there would certainly be some assets there from them that maybe we wouldn't consider in FPL, the likes of Harry Winks, for example. Subject to price, might even be an interesting one next year.
Cool. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/planetFPL. You get access to James's planning spreadsheet and our Slack community and prize leagues and a whole host of other stuff. And get yourself set up ready for next season if this season's kind of dead for you, as it is for James. Yeah, patreon.com. We've got no transfers left, mate. So patreon.com/
I bet end up using it this weekend, you know.
Oh, man. yeah, do that. Other than that, though, make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to the show if you want to get notified whenever new episodes go live. Hit the like button if you like it, and the notification bell wherever you're listening, and stay tuned. We'll be back at you over the course of the week. Stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks everyone, play it your way and good luck. Cue music please. Man Child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.